but very elegant. She put the head in front. What's a Dave got? He's coming back. The gloves are off. They go toe-to-toe, blow for blow. Very elegant. Ahead on a Dave. He's trying, but she's going to beat him. Very elegant wins the Rambert.
Welcome back to the B-Set. I'm Nick Burney. We got through day one of the championship somehow with the rain. The track played perfectly. We're off to day two. Four more big group ones, and obviously the provincial championship will go through. So let's kick it off with Ray Hickson here. The first group one, the Queen Elizabeth Stakes for $5 million over 2,000 metres, weight for age.
Well, yeah, Nick, at least we know what we're dealing with this week. We know we're on, and we know we should be on a reasonable surface.
Yes.
I'd suggest a little bit of give in the track, regardless of the rating. It's a soft five as we talk now.
Yep.
The Queen Elizabeth Stakes, well, this race has changed a little bit over the last few weeks, hasn't it? We had Think It Over heading it that way.
And yep.
He's now retired. This race is really intriguing, though, isn't it?
Great race.
We've got a fair idea of how it's going to be run. We know Pride of Jenny's going to lead.
Yep.
We don't know how far in front she's going to be,
but
we'd imagine she'll be 3, 4, 5 in front at some point, if recent history's any guide. And, well, what does that mean for the race?
Well, last week was exciting, obviously, the Doncaster, Tyler Schiller's ride on Celestial Edge, and that was fabulous to see. But I think this will be the spectacle because she obviously, that's her pattern. What she does is she leads at these fast tempos, tries to run her rivals ragged, but in that middle section, she really makes them exert a lot of energy. And so when they get to that furlong pole, they've got nothing left, and that's what she does. But getting to the 2,000 metres, Randwick, I'm slightly against her. Purely at that fact that I think she's 1,600 metres is her pet distance, and she runs into some top-line weight-for-age performers, the Sydney horses that we saw with the likes of Via Sistina. But as you said, we're going to get a fast pace. I'll kick off. Via Sistina, best bet of the day. Well, I've got two bests on the day. I think she's awfully hard to beat. What she did on her Australian debut, they went at a very slow tempo, farcical really, and the way she just picked them up in a couple of strides, accelerated, eased down on the line, just always looked in control. And it was all about the market for me. She would start at 360 in the morning. Professionals got involved. But then when you get that over the top of the computers and she started 5-4, $2.20, $2 on the totes, she's very likable. I went through all her European replays. She sprints off fast tempo, so that doesn't concern me one little bit about Pride of Jenny. Really, it's actually a plus for me. So perfect draw, James McDonald on. I think she only steps off that last start. I think she's very hard to beat.
Well, it comes down to comfort.
Yeah.
Pride of Jenny has really done a number on Mr. Brightside.
Yeah.
Once we've got to a mile or beyond.
Even a horse, I know it's not in this race, but a tissue, they scratch, because I think Chris Waller just said she doesn't handle Pride of Jenny's 2,000 metres. So
yeah,
she is that fly in the ointment for a lot of runners.
Well, I spoke to Declan Bates during the week, and one good point he made was that this is the first time that Pride of Jenny's raced at 2,000 metres with a 2,000 metre lead up.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So she should be a lot better for that. He's still got to get it right.
Yeah.
As far as he described it as a negotiation process between him and the horse, and he's got to get it right. But if he gets it right,
yeah,
it's going to take a big effort from any horse yep. to run it down. Now, Via Sistina, as you pointed out, reacted really well to that slow tempo in the Ranvet and sprinted amazingly,
yep.
considering she was first up at 2,000 metres
from Europe. Yeah.
They don't do that very often. But
yeah.
Chris Waller has said, you know, he followed the blueprint set by William Haggis to win these races, and
yep.
and that's really paid off. James is going to have to be aware of what's going on up front.
Yep.
I just wonder what's going to be the horse that does the chasing. And logic says it's Lindemann.
Yep.
With his racing pattern and the wide barrier. There's no point in being in the race if he goes back.
No.
So it's going to be an interesting how James handles this. He's got a good barrier.
Yep.
Because he's drawn somewhat near Pride of Jenny. So in the early stages, he's going to be able to work out where he needs to be, because she's going to be 3 or 4 lengths in front of the second horse, you would imagine. I've got her on top as well.
Yep. I think just one more quick point I wanted to make. When those sectionals, she came home the fastest last 400 of the day, but the point I really want to make about is, regardless of the tempo, the figure from a closing perspective, the whole race it came down, they don't come home much faster than that at that group one weight for age level. Like, I haven't seen that for some time, how I do my stuff. And look, I just think she's a really nice horse. But I agree with you. I think Buckaroo is another one that could be a little bit closer this time.
Yeah,
the 2,400 meter run under the belt.
I'm a little disappointed in him.
Yeah, I was. I thought he would stay, and I don't think he did stay.
Yeah, that's probably right. That's probably right. But he's still got work to do to get near Via Sestina. I thought Cascadian was probably the danger, mainly because he's probably going to be on the back of Via Sestina.
Yeah.
And that gives him the chance to replicate his run in the Australian Cup. It's odd that, you know, this could be his final start. It's odd that he's never run in the Queen Elizabeth.
Yeah, it feels like he has.
Yeah, like he's won a Doncaster.
Yep.
He's run in the last two editions of the All Age Stakes, winning it 2 years ago and running third last year. But he's never, you know, it's interesting that his potential swan song could be in the Queen Elizabeth at his 54th start. And he's running something like 28 Group 1s.
Yeah, well, which is staggering. You wouldn't begrudge him coming down the outside. Well, I would, because well, I'm a punter. Yeah. But
look, yeah, I've got,
if the Baldy face knocked you off.
Yeah. Look, like I said, I agree. Via Sestina is the horse to beat. And I thought Cascadian. Look, I'm not going to undersell Mr. Brightside.
Yep.
Yes, Pride of Jenny does seem to put him out of his comfort zone at times. But I think this is going to be a different scenario, because I don't think he's going to be doing the chasing.
Yep.
He's, you know, he drew barrier one in the Australian Cup, and that basically meant he had to sit second.
Yep.
And she just gassed him.
Yeah.
And this is going to be different. I think Ben Hayes has said during the week that they're likely to ride him a little bit more conservatively. So
I think that's the way to ride him.
So he's probably worth forgiving, and Pride of Jenny's a chance as well.
Yeah. So
I guess the other two to mention, Plaster Carousel and Che Wolf, you know.
I'm against Che Wolf, but I'm happy to. I'm going to save on Plaster Carousel purely at the price. If I like Via Sestina, I'm happy to take $220. Plaster Carousel's $11-$12. It's silly for me to let go around at that price, and that's just how I have to handle the race. But clearly, Via Sestina, I think she can be the eighth horse to do the Ramvet Queen Elizabeth double, and I have to save Plaster Carousel.
Yeah, fair enough. Plaster Carousel. Tommy seems to think that she's retained some sharpness. Speaking to him after she galloped on Tuesday. And Che Wolf, it's just interesting that, you know, three-year-old in this race just adds that little different dimension. Yep. He's only won the one race, which is a concern. He was a little bit unfortunate not to win the Derby last week. It was a cracking ride from J-Mac that was the difference on Riff Rocket. Look, it'll be interesting to see how he performs, just from the point of view of how the three-year-olds, you know, might develop next season into four. So worth a throw at the stumps. He's a colt, so you never know. But anyway, it's all Via Sestina.
Yeah, all aboard Via Sestina. Let's go to the time-honoured Sydney Cup. So over the 3,200 metres, great race, handicap conditions. Look, if you don't like the favourite, well, not like the favourite, there is some angles if you want to. I found this very tricky.
Well, this is interesting because you were bullish about the favourite last week.
Very bullish.
Circle of Fire, and you got the cash.
Yep.
Completely different setup for him this time.
Yep. I've second pick. Second pick. So I have Wills have something on it, the $5. I get a feeling he might get out a little bit.
I think so. I opposed him this week.
Yep.
Yeah,
he wasn't the type of horse I want to put on top from a tipping perspective.
But this is a race that's got anything goes here.
Like, yes.
There's so many different angles. There's so many horses you could make a case for. There are a number I could quite easily cross off. But Circle of Fire is interesting. They've bought Andrea Azzini out from Hong Kong. He's only had two rides in Australia, apparently, and they were both in Melbourne about 10 years ago.
Yeah, he rides in Hong Kong. He's a good rider.
Yeah, he's a good jockey. He faces a task here with Barrier 15 in a Sydney Cup. Now, you mightn't think barriers make that much difference. I'm of the opinion they don't make any difference in a Melbourne Cup, but you've got a 1,000-metre run to the first turn. The Sydney Cup's completely different. You're turning virtually for the first, you know, 400 or 500 metres. So barriers are going to play a big role here, and also the obviously staying ability. I landed on Ashrun.
Yep.
The two I liked were Ashrun and Athabasca, and they finished alongside each other in the Tancred. I think Ashrun will appreciate this race if it's truly run, and it quite potentially could be the way that Major Beale's been racing since they decided to jump him leading into this preparation. He set up that ridiculous pace in the Pakenham Cup where Ashran just said, thank you very much, and went on by. And I thought he was okay in the tank. He did pull up a little bit lame, but obviously he's okay. He drops from 59 to 55 and a half. And I just thought he was a good chance without being particularly bullish. And Athabascan, he's the one that's going to appreciate the handicap conditions. I thought he hit the line well in the Tancred.
There's a real sense of timing about that.
There is.
Just, and the mark, there's someone's, someone's been chipping at him. I've been watching. So there's
just that little 3,200 meter question mark. Yeah. He hasn't tried it yet. He's been to 25 and he's been to 2,600 meters once, but failed to finish. So you rub that off because there are obvious excuses. But you're right. He's got this real sense of timing about him. Kalapur is the other horse. I've just basically plumbed with the Tancred form here. Obviously, Morfillins ran second. It's probably the favourite for the race.
Yeah, it would have been favourite. Yeah.
The other horse I've got in the mix is Military Mission.
Yep.
I think we'll see him ridden conservatively, or at least to try and slot in somewhere off the pace. He's been forced to be the leader or outside the lead in his two runs in small fields. And he's one of those rare Waterhouse Bod horses that just isn't a front runner.
Yep, no, I agree.
We saw in the spring he loves it when he can sit off the pace and spring home. So Ashran for me in the cup without being bullish, Athabascan, the danger. How'd you go?
Well, the angle I've taken, I'm Major Beale.
Yeah,
the Derby winner. So Explosive Jack did the Derby Sydney Cup double.
Mm.
So last year's Sydney Cup winner. And I was looking at Major Beale, and it's a good point you make. They sent him down to Melbourne. He was over the jumps. He's only had the two runs in. You would think just reading the form guide, geez, that's not enough work for a 3,200-metre test. But that first up run in the Pakenham Cup, he just went out way too hard.
Mm.
Controlled the speed last start at Flemington, but he did give a nice kick. Now he gets down to 51.5 kilos. He draws to get the perfect run. He can lead, or there's every chance Serpentine crosses him and he just gets the smother off Serpentine. I think they'll lead.
I think he'll lead. I think Serpentine will probably take the trail because he's had two runs at 2,000 metres and he goes straight to 32. I think they'll want to conserve a little bit of early energy.
Yep. I think they'll ride him exactly how they'll ride the Derby.
Yeah.
I like Louis Bezlernan as a jockey. He gets the most out of them. At $21, I just think this horse can give a really good sight. At the weights, he can rate to win this race. So 51.5, he's rock hard fit now, just having those two toughen up, typical Waterhouse Bots style. I think he's just been, obviously it's a group one, but clearly the grand final, the target, and they've planned it out perfectly. So just at the weight, and I'll keep harping on it, but 51.5 kilos is a big plus. And the other horse that comes out of that race was Mostly Cloudy, that Flemington race, and it half interests me, but I went with Major Beale, and I'm going to have something on Circle of Fire. Just the style Circle of Fire did it in last week was he really wanted to hit the line, and I thought it was a solid effort. So they're the two for me, but at $21, I definitely can have something on Major Beale if you're looking for something out wide for a tip there.
Here's an interesting stat for you I found out when I was looking through the form yesterday. Manzois, the Victoria Derby winner, has never started under $10 in his life.
Really? Wow.
$10 is the shortest price he's ever started. And he's a Victoria Derby winner.
He's
won
you're
two
right.
races.
A lot of 31s and 41s.
Yeah, he started $10 two starts ago. Last start, he started $15. When he won the Derby, he was $21. He's had eight runs at Randwick and hasn't run a place. But he's drawn barrier one, and Zach Lloyd, again, desperate to get on the board in a group
one.
Yeah,
he deserves
Dylan
one,
Gibbons
Zach.
Did it in this race last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just thought that was strange for a horse that's a Group 1 winner, that he's sort of basically been shunned by the market just about every time he goes around. Anyway,
he'll run the 32.
He'll get every chance. It's just one of those races. There's the Sydney Cup, nothing surprises you. The starting price of the winner is often generous.
Yeah, it's usually double figures. Very hard to... Hard to find the winner there, so let's go wide in the quaddie, but hopefully Major Beale might be able to stick his head out. All right, let's go back to the Oaks. So the Australian Oaks, 2,400 metres for the fillies. Do you go the Kiwi? Do you stick with her? The $1.65 is very short, or do you look for Zardozi? This is another bit of a match race, although Autumn Angel was very solid last week.
She was good. Look, I sided with Orchestral. I think we can assume, and it's obviously it's dangerous to assume things in races, but I think we can assume that it's not going to be run like the Vinery was.
No.
I'm not sure that Nash is going to take off at the 700 metres at Randwick. It's different at Rose Hill.
Mm.
Look, I think the barrier draw might win this race for her.
Yeah.
Because she's just going to get that perfect soft run. She'll find wherever James wants to be in the first, you know, few hundred metres. She won't have to do any work at all. It doesn't look to be a whole deal of speed here.
Yep.
I couldn't find...
No, it's the roughies. Let me just much. Get it up.
Yeah, maybe Bush Girl.
Bush Girl, Dance With Hers, they even could go forward.
Maybe.
True Fairy, if they wanted to. Now, James, just for something different.
James Cummings suggested Zardozi is going to be ridden a little conservatively.
Yep.
As she was, I guess, in the spring.
That's the way to ride it. Try and... She's got to get on the back somehow of Orchestral at some stage, because James is going to have to push out if he's got the 200 shot in front of him.
And yeah, I think he'll be aware of who's around him here. We had last week. We had the Derby winner from the spring win the Derby in the autumn.
Yeah.
I just wonder whether it's ever happened that the Derby and Oaks winners from Flemington have won the Derby and Oaks at Randwick
in the same year.
It would be very rare. Obviously, the Derby's only been like that since 1979.
Yeah.
But look, she's not out of it, Zardozi. I think it's one of the two.
Yep.
Autumn Angel does worry me a little bit. She was excellent last week.
Yep.
On that, you know, testing track with 61.
Yep.
To just go under.
She had to give good banter 8 kilos, so there's a lot more merit to that effort than what makes the eye.
The backup is not against her. I mean, we quite often see the Adrian Knox win a backup, particularly if it's a testing track, but it might not be quite so testing this week.
Yep.
So, don't love $1.65 or $1.70 in any 2,400-meter race, but she just knows how to win. She was really strong, I thought, at the finish, chasing down to La Vida. And look, Zardozi possibly just peaked on the run. Zardozi's probably the one with the more improvement.
Yep, I agree.
But, yeah, look, it's going to be fascinating. I don't think there's going to be any big surprises in the Oaks. I think it'll be one of the main three or four in the market, and I have to side with Orchestral.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's almost the early market, which I pay a lot more attention to on the day, but where Orchestral, they went up, I think it was $1.80, $1.90 again, just bang straight to $1.65, yep. And Zardozi's that one, which has to get out, but looks a bit iffy in the betting, for a better word. I'm with Orchestral, really hard to get away from her. Just again, and I mentioned it last time on the podcast when James McDonald went right hand to the left hand and how she just can find that extra gear. Only smart horses can do that.
Mm.
I think getting back to the 2,400 metres is only a plus. She was 28 days off that run last start. Look, no spoil, the $1.65. I think you covered it perfectly. I agree with you with Zardozi. It's fastest 600 to 200 of the race, peaked on its run. And this is obviously, it was either the Derby or this, but this has obviously been the plan all the way through.
Well, it's going to be interesting because I thought she was going to be my best bet last week.
I thought she was now Riff Rocket and Chow Wolf went very good, but we'll soon find out if they've pulled out the right rein there. But look, if she gets back to that Oaks figure, she can definitely, which I think she will, definitely challenge Orchestral, but I just have to be with Orchestral. I think she's very classy.
Well, I guess the question is the Oaks form from the spring any good? Athelflaed, we haven't seen this autumn, really. Basilina is here, having, you know, she found Autumn Angel just a bit too tough in the CUNY and went around the Alistair Clark behind Antrim Coast and Quintessa, and Quintessa's here. So you just got to wonder whether that matters.
Yep.
Because she's mixed it with Orchestral this carnival, or whether that form is not good enough.
Yep. All right, let's move to the Queen of the Turf. So 1,600 metres, fillies and mares, weight for age group one. We've been with two out of the three races. We've had the same tip, Ray. What have you gone here?
I'm suggesting, without knowing what you're going to tip, that I've gone different. I'm going with Tropical Squall.
Oh, second pick. Close.
Close. I think that Tropical Squall will bluff them out of the lead here and get a deal of control.
Yeah.
I think she's been set for this race since the Cool War. I think they've purposely missed the Emancipation and any other race. The Doncaster, she could have gone into the Doncaster. She was exempt from ballot after winning the flight. I think she'll find the lead here. Osmos is really the only other horse that could put any pressure on her, the stablemate, but I don't think she will. I think she'll settle second. And it's going to be interesting to see how the pattern of the day has gone. If those on pace are getting a fair go, I think she'll be very hard to run down there. We know she's high class. She's won a couple of Group 1. She's a winner at the Randwick Mile. We know she can handle 2,000 metres. So I think she'll give a good sight. I think she can turn the tables on Zugotcha.
I think Zugotcha's ridiculous odds. $3, 5 to 2, $3.50.
Well, you're paying a bit of the JMAC tax as well, but look, she's done nothing wrong. She gave them all weight in the Coolmore and beat them. Yeah. She's a mile winner as well of a flight stakes.
Yeah, no knock. I just, the price, that's all it comes. She can definitely win.
I think her price will probably start with a 4.
Yeah, it has to. On the day. Feel like that.
Obviously, a tissue is a good chance.
Yeah.
Probably not as suited as she was last year when she won this race on a softer track. But, I mean, how do you deny her form through the Australian Cup?
Yep.
Where she was very good. I'm going to throw Alentia into the mix.
Yeah, I didn't know what to do with her.
Yeah, just one of those. I just don't know.
Could easily tip her on top, but I just didn't in the end.
She was so good last start. It just really surprised me. I thought she was a bit plain the week before, but perhaps she needed the run.
Yeah, I think that was the key to it.
Yeah, so I'm happy to go with Tropical Squall.
Yeah, I've got a tissue. I think she can go back-to-back. Happy to mark her favourite. Coming through that Australian Cup run that I spoke about earlier with Pride of Jenny, and look, she just travelled into the race like I thought she was going to win, and she just didn't handle that high pressure off 28 days. I like her coming out of a fast-paced race back to the 1,600 metres, and we've seen Chris Waller do this time and time again, that pattern with so much success. Blake Shin sticks, which is a big plus for me. I'm a massive fan of Blake Shin riding down here, up here in Sydney. So happy to put a tissue on top. Mares have a very good record in this race. They've won 16 out of the past 20. But with that said, I'm with you with Tropical Squall. I could easily have something on it. And the third up last prep won the Group 1 Flight Stakes, same track and trip. So there's a nice little pointer there. Wouldn't surprise me if Tropical Squall firms. With a lot of people warming to that third up figure last preparation. But a tissue for me on top. So they're the four Group 1s done. Let's go back to race 3, which in my opinion, this Provincial Midway Championship could be the best one yet.
I'd say it's easily the best one yet. Yeah. This is a cracking field, isn't it? It's just...
And I don't know if he's my favourite horse or my most biggest nightmare. In this race. Well, I'll get to him a bit soon.
Your favourite horse or your biggest nightmare?
Territory Express. I was on the 51s last start. And anyway.
Yeah, look, he was really good, wasn't he? Yeah. Just on him, obviously, the story's come out this week. I spoke to Paul in Sephora a few weeks ago before that, and he did tell me about the troubles he's been through over the last 6 months or so with a couple of heart attacks and things like that. That obviously came out on the radio during the week. I rang Paul and was talking to him, and then all of a sudden he just sort of couldn't talk, and
his
partner Mary Ann sort of chimed in and just sort of explained that gets a bit emotional when it comes to this horse particularly. And best of luck. His dream was to run in the Doncaster.
Yep.
He missed out, but as I said to him, $1 million race is not a bad fallback to have.
Yeah, that's right.
When you if you miss out, and he only missed out narrowly, and look, he probably should have won.
Yeah.
The Ajax, but anyway, I didn't know what to do here. I think Chris Lees will win the race.
Yep.
But there's a few horses here I've left out of my numbers that I could easily make you a good case for. There's some really strong form behind him. I landed on Willinga Freefall.
Yeah, second pick. Yep.
Yeah. Look, the two runs back, just found Gosford 1,200 metres off a wide gate, a bit big an ask.
Yep.
Behind Shadows of Love.
I feel like the Newcastle 1,400 metre race was the target to get him to that level to win the race, and then obviously into the final at his peak.
And he was a little stiff.
Yeah.
I backed Terramata in the race. I was pleased that Terramata got the cash, but he was a little stiff not to win that. But look, it's the fact that he didn't win it means that he hasn't won five races. It means he doesn't carry that little bit of extra weight. So gets in with 56 with J-Mac, a handy enough barrier. I've got him on top of Tavi Time, who I could quite easily see just look back to last year's Spangler, drew the outside barrier. J-Mac produced a pearler, brought him through along the inside, and won pulling up. Now, Tavi Time's had this sort of mini boom on him for a little while, winning the qualifier by half the length of the Newcastle straight, and went under at $1.60, but was better at the gates.
Yeah.
He was strong late. He's had a month between runs. He was 2 weeks into that run. He's now had a month. I'm not too concerned with the barrier because I think he can blend into the race. I'm worried about a few other horses. Territory Express is one of them.
Yep.
Shadows of Love is another. She is flying. She Kim Wars had no luck in this race over the years. She's had a few good horses go to the final and run a couple of seconds or have no luck. This horse has won four of its last five starts and is flying. I haven't talked about Straight Acer.
Yeah.
It's a Group 1 placed horse.
Arguably should have won the Rupert Clark last campaign.
Brad Widup's horses. Osbred Flirt.
Yep.
Beaten a couple of lengths in the invitation, this track and distance in the spring. Short Shorts smashed them in the qualifier, then went back to 1,200 metres and wasn't disgraced. So she gets back to 1,400 metres.
I think it's
so good, many angles here. It's such a good race.
I think it's a good point you make. When some of these horses are qualified, they know they have to get to the final.
Mm.
And sometimes they may just dip that little bit with that run going into the final.
Well, you have to go with what races are around. And, you know, with a mare, for example, like Short Shorts, you've got to have a crack at a group race.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Where did you land?
I'm chips in. I'm chips in Territory Express.
Yeah. Heart in your mouth stuff.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. It's like you could almost just walk into a closet or hide under the desk until the 300 and then come out because, look, but he just, his closing speed, there's something about this horse. He's just a dead set line chaser. And I just think he's flying this preparation. That first up win at Kembla, the way he picked them up and what he did over the last 100 metres, how he held his action, obviously clearly the fastest last 200 of the day. Then he goes straight to a Group 2 Ajax. He should have won. I think he would have beaten Democracy Manifest with clear air near the top of the straight. But that's his pattern. That's what the price you got to pay. But he was just checked and blocked at critical stages. And just again, the way he wanted to find the line. I like the speed of this race. There's plenty of tempo. If the split comes, I think he just runs over the top of them. I think he's clearly got the best closing speed. I know I keep harping on that, but he's a serious horse in time. And this, if you take away his last preparation, I thought he was really good. But the level he's gone to this prep, he's a different horse. I think he's well above.
He's threatened to do this for a while.
He has.
He's always... He's caught the eye on a few occasions with that big finish, but he has gone to a new level this preparation, obviously, with his Group 2 placing at his last start.
He's I agree that his manners out of the barriers can be a little bit dicey, and that's the price. Well, he's $390 now. We're going to get better. I think just keep your powder dry there. That's the gamble you take.
There's so many you can back in this race. I think you're right. I don't think he'll shorten significantly.
No.
But there's just so many horses that you can make a case to back in this race, which is...
Well, I think he was about 480 yesterday and someone's had a bet and now he's 390. And on the day, I think he has to get out that little bit. But happy to be with Territory Express.
Because this obviously used to be just the provincial championships. And I think the addition of the Midway has actually added to it.
Yeah.
And this year's edition says that, obviously, trainers... There aren't... You've still got a lot of provincial trainers in here, but they've got a better quality of horse.
Yep.
And we've seen that in the makeup of this field. So, yeah, looking forward to it. Nice and early race three.
Yep, and I'll be cheering for Paul Nissaferro as well. That's the sentimental
side. Great story. Good luck to him. Hopefully he can hold together if the horse is charging home.
Yep.
And, it'll be a great fill-up and great, tonic for him to win a big race like this, given, he went so close to getting into that Doncaster.
Yeah, go the Express. Okay, Nick, well,
we've had a look at all those main feature races. There's still five other races there. Do we have any best bets in Sydney or anywhere else?
Of course. We've got a couple out wide too. Look, Randwick, two best bets. We've gone over them. Race 3, number 8, Territory Express. and race 8, number 8, Via Sistina. So two in the features, but I think they're both hard to beat. And I'm going to go to Newcastle, a horse I've been waiting for. Let me just get it up. Race 6, number 2, Empress of Wonder. My only little slight concern is second up off a long break. But with that said, he's 24 days between runs. But really nice return behind Ravenclaw at Wyong over the 1,100 in maiden grade. Ray Shape against some of the fastest closing splits. Just don't think handled Wyong. Probably needed the run. Gets barrier one, claim suits, bigger track, Newcastle, a lot to like there. Happy to be with race 6, number 2, Empress of Wonder. So they're my three best, Territory Express, Via Sistina, and Empress of Wonder. What about you, mate?
Well, I'm going to bookend the Randwick program.
Oh, beautiful.
With my two best. I really like Miss Bustlinger in the first race.
Yep.
Chris Lee's Dylan Gibbons. I think it's probably a match between her and Broadsiding, who finished alongside her in the Bailey U a couple of weeks ago. I think the barrier might just be the difference here. You know, she's got barrier 2, he's got barrier 10. Suggests that he'll be ridden conservatively with a line to backing up next week in the Champagne. I think she's a horse that probably will be talking about next spring as an Oaks prospect. I thought she was really good in the Riesling behind Erno's Cube, getting home strongly at the finish, and backed that up in the Bailey U in a race where linebacker and a node just went, you know,
one
head and head the whole way. There was a couple of lengths back to her and Broadsiding in third and fourth. I just think Dylan Gibbons will posse her up in that sort of first four or five in the run from the good barrier, and I'd imagine she'll hit the front and hopefully she can hold off Broadsiding and anything else chasing.
Yeah, I like your angle there because you're getting a good price, and for me it only looks to two hopes.
Yeah, and I'll go down to the last, and if there's a horse with better form going around than Tashi.
Oh, don't do it to me. ran into Chain of Lightning.
We ran into Chain of Lightning in that race a couple of weeks ago. How are we to know Chain of Lightning comes out and beats the best sprinters in the land?
$7 Tashi, and then you run into Chain of Lightning.
In the TJ. I spoke to Peter Snowden, and he said a great line. He said, I thought to myself after race we were a bit unlucky, but...
Yeah,
but maybe we weren't.
Yeah,
you know, Chain of Lightning.
I thought we were unlucky.
she was going sideways and climbing over their backs for about 150, 200 metres before she finally got out. She took some ground off Chain of Lightning. I don't mind the barrier.
Yeah.
She's got Red Card drawn, a couple of horses outside her. We know Red Card's going to go looking for either the lead or the outside the lead position. Tashi's going to be able to just use that to drag across and get into that spot just behind them. Perhaps outside a horse like Wee Nessie, who ran third in that race.
Yep.
And she's just been a different horse. She just continues to improve since the blinkers have gone on. I used to think she was a real wet tracker. Now I sort of think she's okay with just that bit of cushion in the track, which she'll get regardless of whether we're a good four come the last race. And I think that form should be able to hold up. And this is her chance to get a group win. So
last race of the carnival, wide draw, I don't think so. Any concern. Yeah. Ramwick 1,200 metres.
Yep.
So I think that's probably been factored too much into the price.
Perhaps. I'll go race 1, number 2, and race 10, number 4 for my two best on day 2 of the Star Championships.
Alrighty, that wraps us up. Hopefully everyone has a good day out there. Get out there. It was fantastic last week and back plenty of winners, most importantly.